Today's guest is Mr. Ed Harold. Ed is the author of Life with Breath, and he is a breathwork coach, instructor, guru, if you will. And he has done this for many years. He has coached Goldie Hawn, one of my favorite actresses, who, if you've not seen Death Becomes Her or Overboard or Private Benjamin, I'm sure you have. These are very, you know, these films have been out for a little while. So he is the breath coach for her and or works with her. And he has done so many things with Pranayama. And this is our second breathcast. I'm so excited to bring a second one with you now. Just as we are live, if you could do me a favor and just pop a quick hello into the YouTube chat, if we're live and you're watching this now. And just make sure also, if you could put in there, if you can hear me, because it would be good to make sure that I'm not just talking into a quiet mic and everyone's thinking, where's the audio? Why can't we hear this person? So that would be great if you just say maybe where you're from. Today it's really about breathing exercises guided by Ed and a Q&A. So we've got some questions on there. I've just got somebody leaving a couple of messages now. So thank you. Hello to Gracie. So please, please put your messages in there. Questions for Ed. So Ed's got a really great knowledge of breath. If you can put in some questions, that would be fantastic. Greetings from Rio de Janeiro to Carlos and Simon, Kim. You've also said all good here. So that means that you can hear me. So we're already winning. Doesn't matter what happens from this point on. So before I bring Ed on, and that is a technical piece all by itself, I just want to give you a couple of quick messages. So we have hit 100,000 subscribers on this channel, which has just absolutely blown my mind. So thank you and welcome to all those new people. I'm so pleased and honored that you're discovering breath work and you're discovering it with me. You know, my journey now has been almost 5 years. Come December 1st, it will be 5 years since I spent a week with the Dutch Iceman, Mr. Wim Hof. And in those 5 years, it's just been an awakening journey. And some of you have been there right from the start. So welcome to all of you. And also welcome to all of those people that have just recently found this channel as well. That is ace. So yes, a couple of quick messages. So number one, if you want to work with me, I do have a number of limited slots where you can, for a package of $397, you can work one-on-one breathwork coaching with me. Predominantly, I've spent a lot of my time working with the Oxygen Vantage and Buteyko. Now, these are for things like feeling more energy, more health, working with your diaphragm, making sure that you're breathing properly so that you're getting better sleep, you're kind of increasing your longevity, and a whole host of other benefits to breath work. Structural, they can help with back problems, can help with reducing anxiety and stress. So if that's something that interests you, like I said, I do have a number of slots, only a couple left now. Thank you so much to all those people that filled them up last week. But if you're interested, you can email me at hello@takeadeepbreath.co.uk. Just drop me a quick email. Let me know what it is you're looking for, and let's see if it's something we'd be interested in working together on. So that's a limited time package, $397, and that's for a minimum of 4 breathwork sessions. If we need to go into 5, we absolutely can do as well. The other things from me as well is we have another channel. So this channel is brought to you in conjunction with Binaural Beats Unleashed, which is the second channel. I'm just trying to get that started at the moment. There's 568 of you that have jumped over there, so thank you so much. And I'm trying to bring you different music from different artists for things such as focus when you're trying to study, or if you want to do breath work unguided, just by yourself, laying in the room, put some music on, just do some nice guided breath work by yourself. Perfect for that. You know, if you want to kind of calm down, get ready for bed or sleep through the night. So Binaural Beats Unleashed, it's a completely free YouTube channel here. And the link is in the descriptions below. If you could pop on over there and give me a subscribe and check out some of the latest music we've been putting on there, I hope it'll give you some value. So that is enough messages from me. We are live. It's 7:06 here in the UK. I can see all these lovely hellos everywhere. So Irene, Henry, Natalie, oh my God, so many people. So without further ado, and I haven't done this before, I'm going to now try and bring Ed into the conversation. So welcome to Life with Breath with Mr. Ed Harold. And we wait and we wait. This is the bit where it could go right or it could go wrong. And it looks like it's gone right. Mr. Ed Harold, we're live on Take a Deep Breath. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Mike. It's great to be with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You sound awesome, man. How's everything going?
Fantastic. Yeah, I was just speaking to, I think it was Wendy. I was just saying, you know, here in the UK, doing well. We've had some nice weather recently. And yeah, things are really good. Now, you're in a van somewhere. So just explain, if you will, for people that are listening to this and can't see you, where you are and what you're doing, because it's quite interesting.
Yes, I'm up in northern Idaho, up by the Canadian border, and we have an RV. And we take the RV out, and we have the ability to work through the internet, but we also have the ability to be in the great outdoors and chill and get all these great negative ions into our body. And it's just a wonderful time to reboot, reconnect with nature and get healthy again.
Yeah. Oh, Ed, that sounds lovely. You are living the dream. I'll admit to something right now. I was just getting ready for this podcast, and I just took the dog for a quick walk up the road, and there's this big, big tree. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to give that tree just a little bit of a hug. Just give it just a little bit of grounding, just touched it, just try and get myself ready for this so we can have a great conversation together. So, oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful. So we didn't get a chance to speak before we went live. So we last caught up, I think it was back in April. So how has this year been for you overall, Ed?
My gosh, it's been fantastic. The whole world seems to be opening up to the potential that lies inside each of us and begins to notice that it's just one breath away. And when we can really have some strategies around our breath control, how that interacts with our mind, our hormonal secretions, the gut brain, our body language, all the things that keep us open during these challenging times. So for me, I pray for everyone. I hope they're healthy and making the right decisions, but it's our responsibility as a human being with a human body to take care of this body, strengthen our immune system, make good choices, and do the best we can with what we have, not what we perceive we don't have.
Oh, I love that. Glass half full, glass not half empty approach to life. That is very good. So, Ed, we are live. So I feel like I'm working for NASA today because I've got a couple of screens. I've got questions from people. So you'll have to bear with me as I try and make sure that we don't miss any questions. So if you're watching this right now, it's, I think, 3 p.m. in New York. So that makes it, what, about 1 o'clock in LA, something like that. And here in the UK, it's 7 p.m. So probably if you're watching this in Poland or somewhere, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock as you go. So we are live. You do have the ability to ask us questions about breath work. So make sure you pop them in. I did go over and do a poll on YouTube. And I just said, you know, what would you like us to talk about? So let me just pull that up as well, because I think that's quite interesting, Ed. And I think there might be a couple of questions on there as well. So just give me a sec. And just while I'm doing that, I'll just say a couple of quick hellos. So we've got Natalie, Irene, Henry. All good question for me there, Henry. I'm definitely going to jump into that one. Nikita, Angie, Bengu. I hope I said that right. Gert, Sam. Oh, Sam, nice question there. Angie, thank you for the comments about the channel. Okay, brilliant. So I can see some questions. Simon's in there as well. So please keep those questions coming. And as we go through, we'll do our best to get to as many of them as we can and answer them. Ed, I asked people, what would they like to talk about today? And the thing that got the biggest percentage, 33%, was how to get better sleep. So I wonder if we could start there maybe and say, what can people do for sleep and what sort of breathing exercises or routines might you recommend for people wanting to get better rest and sleep?
Great question. So for myself, when I'm thinking about sleep, it begins when I first open my eyes in the morning when I'm lying in bed. And I open my eyes and the first thing I do is I slow my inhale down. I stabilize my brain and I begin to feel the natural rhythms of the body. You know, every day is a little bit different. And I begin to notice the quality of my mind. And I begin to form a strategy about how I'm going to interact with the morning activity. So it begins with slowing down the inhale, kickstarting that gastric fire with a stronger diaphragmatic movement, fill my brain with gratitude. You know, no matter, I don't really know what's going on in the world. I'm just doing the best that I can So I just want to have gratitude for whatever opportunity presents it to me during that day. I'll go into the shower and I'll use the negative ions of the water and I'll go into a squat, and that squat will kickstart my lower body mechanics. I will sink down into that squat and I'll do little bits of breath retention where maybe I'll slow motion inhale, hold the breath in for two, slow motion exhale, hold the breath out for two. So I'm kickstarting the lower body. I'm getting digestion going. The cardiovascular system is going to kick into place. I'm just relaxing my face and all this water is coming down on my skin. It's opening up the pores of my skin and I'm relaxing my soft tissue. I'll come out of the shower and I'll just really feel like I'm taking less breaths per minute after that little squat with breath retention and utilizing the water like steam. So you're getting a lot out of a little. So I'll notice less breaths per minute, lower heart rate, greater ability to control my mind. And I've set in motion fat metabolism as my primary source of energy as I move through the day, because the day is an endurance event. It'll be filled with little sprints and little stressors, but predominantly from a metabolic standpoint, I want to be in that fat burning mode, that inflammation reduction mode, keeping my blood healthy, keeping my hormonal secretions in balance, and then stabilizing the brain. As I move through the day, in the morning, the sunlight is very high. The moon is down. How does that relate to me as a human being and breath control? Well, we have something called an autonomic nervous system. And an autonomic nervous system is a reflection of the two major planets that affect Earth. Number one, the sun. And the sun is your sympathetic energy. It's your cortisol, it's adrenaline, it's your fire, it's your light. And then you have your parasympathetic activity from the cool white moon, that cool white light, that's cooling energy. So in the morning, what I'll do is I'll work on bringing more moon energy into the sun. So it's work on parasympathetic activity in the morning. So around 10 o'clock, I'm at work. I'll simply inhale. I'll hold the breath in several seconds, allow a little pressure to build, and then I'll exhale in a fraction, whether it be 50-50, whether it'll be in thirds or quarters or fifths. But I want to keep breaking down that parasympathetic response of the exhale process so that I'm bringing cooling energy onto the logs that I'm using with that high sun energy. So I get the most out of the least in the morning. I want to be efficient energetically in the morning, keeping my autonomic nervous system in balance. There's heat outside of me, a lot of light. So I'll keep it cool inside by breaking the exhale down into smaller fractions. In the midday, it's the midday. I'll do some little Kapalabhati bursts, little brain breaks to reboot the brain, reboot the system, break up any stressors that might have occurred. And I'll prepare myself for the afternoon. In the afternoon, the sun's going down and the moon's going up. Now I need energy. But what's the most abundant energy on the planet? Oxygen. So around 2 o'clock, I'll go to my inhale. And then I'll inhale in 50-50, or I'll inhale in thirds, or I'll inhale in quarters or fifths. Hold, let the energy build, sympathetic action, but it's through the nose, so it's not hyper. And then you'll exhale slowly through your nose. So as the sun's going down and the moon's going up, we can bring up sun or sympathetic energy by breaking down the inhale in the smaller fractions. When I leave work, it's alternate nostril breathing. Work is done. Now it's my time. It's exercise time. I need to exercise every day to break up stress, common sense, stay healthy. Alternate nostril breathing, let work go for an hour. And this is my time. I need my time the way I brush my teeth. I'll do some yoga. I'll do some light weights. I'll do some cardio. I'll do some meditation. Everything that I can do to be super efficient. I'll go to bed. And again, I need parasympathetic activity. So it's inhale, hold two, exhale, hold two. Several rounds, let go of my day, good, bad, or in between. Focus my mental attention on reboot, restore, repair the brain, the tissues of the body. And then if I awaken at 2 o'clock at the night when melatonin stops because I had a little too much stress during the day, I'll do unilateral breathing. which is just a simple tool where you're simply closing off the right nostril. You inhale up the left nostril, which is parasympathetic. You close off the left, you exhale down the right nostril, which on the exhale is parasympathetic. So it's close off the right, slow motion, inhale up the left, close off the left, exhale right. So the left nostril on inhale is parasympathetic. The right nostril on exhale is parasympathetic. So we're just allowing serotonin to come up around the droppage of the melatonin. You'll do 5 to 10 rounds of that, and the serotonin will get you back to sleep. So that's kind of a thumbnail about how I like to interact. I don't wait till it's bedtime to try to adjust my system to cool down. I try to become super efficient first breath in the morning by stabilizing my mind and body and counterbalancing my breath with my autonomic nervous system with what's going on outside in my environment.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Ed. Now, the good thing is, anybody that's watched that or they've just joined us and they want to know Ed's routine, well, the whole thing's here on YouTube. So even after this is all finished, you can wind that back and you can watch step by step, which I'm definitely going to do, Ed. I didn't actually know that piece about, I thought it was in through the left and out through the left was parasympathetic, but actually in through the left and out through the right is the right way of doing it then.
Isn't this amazing the way the creator created these bodies? And how this cross patterning takes place through the nasal channels, which is a reflection of the cross patterning, which takes place in regard to how we move our body. DNA moves our body. And when you think about that double helix, you think about the lower right side of your body is the common denominator of what's going to happen with your upper left. And the lower left is the common denominator of what happens in the upper right. And that crosses through your solar plexus where you have power, willpower. And that balancing technique, you'll notice when you walk, when your right leg comes forward, your left hand will trace the right heel. Mm. And when your left foot comes forward, your right hand will trace the left heel. And when you pay attention to that with a focused breath, you can get into a flow state. As far as the nostrils, what's amazing, everything runs off of this forebrain area, this polyvagal theory, vagus nerve, sympathetic power, everything's working through these two frontal lobes and the inhale and exhale. And the left nostril on the inhale is parasympathetic. It goes into the right lobe. And then the exhale down the right nostril is parasympathetic. So if you think about how the breath moves, the energy of the breath moves, it's inhale, left nostril, right brain. You exhale, it crosses the corpus callosum, comes down into the left lobe, and then out the right nostril. That's your parasympathetic branch in the breathing through the brain. And then the opposite would be right nostril inhale, sympathetic, feeds the left lobe. You exhale, it crosses the corpus callosum into the right brain, and then comes down the left nostril, which is sympathetic on the exhale. It's just beyond description, whoever created this.
Yeah, it's so cool, isn't it? And for people watching this, they might not realize that there is actually scientific studies that back this up about left and right nostril breathing. But ironically, people have known about this for thousands of years, haven't they? It's a practice, a very ancient practice. But if you were to go on Google and look for, left versus right nostril breathwork scientific studies, there are many studies that have happened that prove that people can relax through kind of using their left nostril, but as you say, in through the left and out through the right, which is so cool, isn't it?
It's great that we have access to controlling the energy physically in regard to what we want to do mentally. Mm. So in other words, if I want to activate my right prefrontal lobe and I'm doing this inhale left, exhale right, I'm going to drop into all sorts of curiosity. I'm going to get beyond my comfort zone of where I normally think about subjective states. I'm going to become super creative and intuitive. And you'll notice in the right lobe that there's no words or numbers. There's no math or narrative. Now, if I'm going to balance my checkbook and it requires math skill, I'm not going to require any of the right frontal lobe. I'm going to inhale up my right nostril and exhale down my left several rounds. This is going to kickstart the linear rational cognitive brain in the left prefrontal lobe so that I'm sharp with my numbers. Yes. And folks have to realize these nasal channels, they respond to the environment. They pick up light and they register light. So in the winter, when there's less light and it's colder outside, we need to balance that out with more adrenaline and cortisol and heat inside. So more sympathetic activity. So what you'll notice is that during the winter months, that the right nostril will be more efficient during the daytime hours than the left, because we need to counterbalance the external environment and keep our body temperature at 98.6 or 8. In the summer, when there's a lot of heat and there's a lot of light, you'll notice the opposite. Your left nostril will be more open during the day because you require more parasympathetic cooling activity to keep yourself in homeostasis. And this happens without us telling it to happen.
Yes. I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking that probably just 2 days ago. I was like, why is my left nostril so much more open than my right nostril recently? I've noticed that the right one's been blocked for a while, and that makes complete sense. Body's trying to calm me down, use the parasympathetic nervous system a little bit more. Again, such a cool thing. Ed, what I'm thinking is, because I can see loads of people in the chat, so what I'm thinking is, should we do a couple more questions? And then maybe break up with you guiding us through some sort of breathing exercise. And then we'll jump back into some questions and maybe do that a couple of times and see how we get on. That'd be all right.
This sounds great.
Brilliant. Let's have a look what we got then, because I can see people furiously typing away here. So some of these we might not have the answers to, but pop them in and, you know, we'll do our best to answer them. I've just saw one. What breathing technique would be best for healing the gut?
So the main benefactors of the gut, like what creates suction and pressure and keeps the gut brain happy. So we have a diaphragm muscle on our pelvic floor behind the reproductive organ. And then we have the buttock muscles, the anus, the sphincter muscle, and that's at the bottom of the body. And that is at the base of the gut. And then we have the diaphragm muscle, the thoracic diaphragm muscle, which separates the belly from the chest cage. So to have a healthy gut, we need to increase the range of motion and strength of the thoracic diaphragm muscle. And this is the thoracic diaphragm muscle is our second heart. The first heart is a pump. Well, this is also a pump, and it works on suction and pressure. So if we simply can be aware of the pelvic floor with a straight spine and we press our feet down so that the spine is straight, the brain likes to feel the feet touching the earth so that we're grounded in the intelligence of the body in the present moment. You know, body language says a lot. So that straight spine means you're using less energy to get through this second and this second. And this second, and then there's a cumulative buildup of that so that you have a tremendous amount of energy in your immune system and your body so you get a great night's sleep. If you're exhausted during the day, you won't be able to sleep at night. So everything is connected. So as far as the gut brain, what I like to do is feet on the ground, spine straight, inhale, hold, and then lift the ribs away from the hips and lift that thoracic diaphragm up underneath the lower lobes of your lungs. And then exhale through your nose, hold the breath out, and push the thoracic diaphragm down the same way you do when you evacuate your bowels, but hold the breath out. Inhale, hold, lift up. Beautiful. Exhale through the nose, hold out, push down. You can feel there's a tremendous amount of energy, blood, circulation, minerals, and nutrients moving through the gut, moving through our gastrointestinal organs in the lower barrel. The lower barrel is the pelvic floor and the thoracic diaphragm. The upper barrel is the base of the throat and the thoracic diaphragm with the heart and lungs. And these two work on pressure. Another way of energizing the gut brain, normally when we exhale, we draw the abdominal muscles back to the spine, and there's a major flush that takes place in our gastrointestinal organs. What if we exhaled, we draw the belly back to the spine, hold the breath out, but then push the belly out, push the spine, push the organs away from the spine, push the belly out the way it would be on the inhale, and then relax, inhale, Exhale, hold out. Now push your belly out. Now, so what we're doing here is we're reversing voluntarily where muscles and organs would normally be during the breathing process. In other words, you inhale, your diaphragm goes down. We hold the breath in. What do? We lift the diaphragm up to where it normally would be when you exhale. And then when you exhale, your diaphragm's coming up. It's up under your lungs. What are we doing? Then we're pressing it down to where it would be on your inhale. And this creates more range of motion. It creates strength. It amplifies the vagus nerve. If you're doing the ocean sound, it amplifies the phrenic nerve, which is the motor nerve of the diaphragm. So if we exhale and we draw the belly back and we hold the breath out several seconds, and then we push the belly out, what are we doing? We're taking the organs off their normal attachments. We're creating space, pushing the diaphragm down. We're flooding the gut with blood and oxygen circulation, alkalinity, removing mucus, phlegm, and fat. So there's just a couple little tools that I think will really help with spinal health and the digestive elimination and assimilation process of the gastrointestinal organs.
That's right. So that's the first time I've heard that. And that's really interesting because, I think as well, and correct me if I'm wrong here, people've got to, when they hear about breathing exercises, I think it's worth remembering there's a difference between an exercise and the way that you breathe 99.9% of the time. So for example, there are many breathing exercises that use the mouth, but probably the other 99.9% of your day, your mouth should be shut and you should be, you know, quietly nose breathing. Would that be fair?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And the same with the, what you've just said there, because I've heard the term paradoxical breathing, which is where you're doing what you've just described. But I guess the difference is what you're talking about here is a specific exercise to achieve a specific state. Is that right?
Yes. I was doing this particular exercise for gut health.
Mm.
And that's why I was doing that. And working the diaphragm muscle and then moving things against where they normally would be creates a flood of oxygenation to take place in our gastrointestinal organs. So just thinking about, you know, we have this breathing thing. And if we don't think about breathing, the autonomic nervous system will do it for us based on what we're thinking. In other words, if we're thinking fear, self-doubt, aggression, the breath will be faster. It might even be through the mouth. If we're thinking compassion, learning, curiosity, self-love and self-forgiveness, the breath slows down naturally. So the basic breath that I think folks should be doing 9 to 5 outside of their exercise routine should be a nostril breath with the exhale longer than the inhale. Yes. So if you're inhaling 2, exhale 4, inhale 3, exhale 6, inhale 4, these are little brain breaks you can do during the day even. Like if you want to take a break for a minute, just go through a little ladder. Inhale 2, exhale 4. 3, 6, 4, 8, 5, 10, 6, 12, 7, 14, and then bring it back down and then re-engage the workplace.
Yeah.
But the basic breath should be nostril inhale to get the downward thrust of the diaphragm muscle to stabilize the spine and kickstart digestive fire, kickstart the gut brain and stabilize the brain between our ears. Next step is exhale through the nose longer than the inhale. This creates safety in the lower brain. If the amygdala, which is our war department, our fight or flight department, sees the exhale shorter than the inhale, it thinks we're in danger and it begins to organize an attack or defend strategy. And in that, you'll see digestion will stop. Heart rate and blood pressure will rise. All the energy leaves your viscera and goes out into your arms and legs to fight the intruder. But there's no intruder. There's just a thought. It's not real. So the body's not designed to exhale on its own. The body's designed only to inhale. So these practices to receive benefit from them begins by training your expiratory muscles to stay with the moment longer and close that moment before you inhale again. Your brain doesn't like a lot of things open. It likes to see something, interact with it, do the best it can, and close that chapter and then open another chapter. So our breath fundamentally is creating the boundaries in regard to how we're going to think, our perception, how the world sees me, what energy I'm going to use. So these exercises are great. I spent my whole life, the last 25 years, all I focus on every minute is breath control. There's 800,000 different ways to inhale, hold, exhale, hold. It's like the stars in the sky. But fundamentally, we want to take less breaths per minute. So slow motion inhale, exhale longer than the inhale. That should be your the way you were breathing when you were a youngster. That's how you were breathing. Yes. But just remember that in your cellular memory, and you'll be well off into your next goal.
Yeah, wonderful. And just going back to something you said, probably about 7 or 8 minutes ago now, I love what you said about the diaphragm being the second heart. I think that is such a wonderful thing. I've never heard that before, which is just a beautiful thing. You're right. This big pump, this huge dome-shaped disc that's doing all this wonderful work in our body. What we'll do, we'll jump to one more question and just say hello to all the people that have joined us now. There's 70 people with us right now, which is incredible. So hello to everybody that's watching. You're watching a conversation between me and Ed Harold, author of Life with Breath. I said author then, a bit of a Cockney accent. Life with Breath. This is our second time together, and you haven't missed any breathing exercises yet, so don't worry. We are going to do some breathing exercises shortly, and you've got still a chance to pop some questions into the live chat here on YouTube. And somebody asked the question a minute ago, will this be available for replay? Yes, it will. You'll be able to go there as well. So, right, let's jump into some more questions. Let's have a look. Hi, Ed. Do you have any routines or suggestions for pairing breathing exercises and movement together for releasing negative emotions, anger, anxiety, or sadness?
Wow. Thank you very much for that question. So when we think about these thoughts or emotions or moods that have presented themselves to us in our mind, we can shift our perception of these moods, thoughts, emotions in the brain with something called neuroplasticity. So in other words, I can bring my mind back to an event that occurred 20 years ago that I don't quite understand or makes me angry, where I'm disappointed in myself and what I said, or I'm disappointed in somebody else. We can rewire our brain's perception of that subjective or objective state by using breath control and the body. And it takes the energy of the body to come up into the brain and rewire these neurons, because neurons that are wired together fire together. That's Hebe's law. So neuroplasticity takes place when there is a new awareness around an old subjective or objective state. So you have this conscious new awareness around an old thought that you thought this was the way you were going to think this all the way to your grave. Now, to change the brain, we use the body. This is where the energy is. When energy is low, it's very easy to fall back into those old subconscious perceptions, because the subconscious brain is so powerful. When you think about the subconscious and conscious brain, the subconscious brain has access to 40,000 files that it could pull up at any moment to place on your mind. Your conscious brain has access to 40 files at any given moment. So when you're talking about reprogramming old painful events that are stored in the subconscious, you have to first consciously become aware that there's a new perception available to you about an old memory. That's the first step. Now, that old memory is stored in your body. It's down in your hips, your lower abdomen. It's down in your buttock. It's stored in fat cells. It's stored in inflammation. It's encased in there. So as we become more efficient in the breathing, okay, nostril breathing with the ocean sound in your throat from the yoga system, the ocean sounding breath, is a tool to reduce inflammatory markers in the body. When we reduce inflammation, we reduce that pull around that old thought to ruin our moment. So when you think about the diaphragm, nostril breathing, this phrenic nerve is the motor nerve for the diaphragm. It pushes it down and lifts it up. That gives you energy. Ocean sounding breath gives you access to the vagus nerve, which gives you relaxed, resilient energy. Now we can allow questions to form around our old perceptions or answer. So for me, what I might do is I notice that I'm not in a good space mentally. Now it's coming down into my body now, and my body thinks that I'm going into a fight because it's actually warring with this old thought. So what I would do for me is, number one, body language. I want to be proud in the moment. I don't want that mental thought to contract me over where I'm suffocating in its message to me that there's something wrong with me or something wrong with the world or someone else. So body language, straight spine, sends a signal to my brain that we can communicate with this intruder. Slow motion inhale, ocean sound. Pause. Just bring yourself to a pause. 1 to 2 seconds. Stop the mind right there. Because when you stop breathing with control, the mind will sit still. The film you're watching will stop. And you can interact with that film. And you can agree with it. You can disagree with it. Or you can say, I don't know. There's only three answers. Exhale slowly. Stay on the exhale. Ujjayi breathing in the throat. And then hold the breath out for a 2 count. So it's a breath-controlled meditation where there is a slow motion breath in, a brief 2 second hold, or a gap in your mind where you can inject a new wave of information into that flow. And then a slow motion exhale, parasympathetic response, ocean sound, vagus nerve, inflammation reduction from the gut. It's burning these inflammatory markers, and then hold out for 2. So slow motion inhale, hold, stop the mind. Agree, disagree, I don't know. Slow motion exhale, relax, straight spine, open mind. Hold out for 2. Agree, disagree, I don't know. Simplify what's complex. Slow the breath down. Use your body as a metronome and lift that awareness up into your brain and look for where fears might be camouflaging your greatest strengths.
Wow. Fantastic. Thanks, Ed. I love that. That Ujjayi breath, that is where you kind of close off the muscles here, isn't it? And make like a... Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
It's a very simple breath. If anybody needs to know how to do it, what I like to do with folks is just take one hand and bring it up to my face, and I'll pretend it's an old pocket mirror. And I'll just exhale through my mouth, and I'm trying to fog this mirror. My brain will come down to the top of my throat. At the top of my trachea, behind my Adam's apple, I'll find a little muscle, a little cartilage called the epiglottis. And we contract that. And we contract that, a neutral sound will form, like the sound of space, or there's the sound of the ocean off in the distance. And what it does is it introverts my 5-sense perception that I normally use to read the environment as safe, unsafe, or I don't know. And you'll get really deep inside yourself. And the deeper we go inside ourselves, the less fear we have outside of ourselves.
Beautiful. Thank you. That's very, very cool. So what I think we'll do, let's take a pause from the questions. I can see some really good ones here I want to jump into. Could you guide us through something now for a couple of minutes? Would you take us through anything that you feel is relevant right now, maybe something that you want to do for you personally and very happy, just something for us to experience with you?
So what I'll do is I'm going to slide my chair back just an inch or two from the computer screen, so it gives me a little space. Now, I like to have my feet out a little wider than my hips, and that little wider lower base really allows the diaphragm to move further down into the belly and create structure in my spine. And when there's structure in my spine, it's easier to balance my mind. So if your feet are out wider, notice what's going on in the mind. And when you bring your feet closer together, you'll notice it's much like we're teetering in the mind and it's more difficult to breathe. Mm. So for folks who are new to this, we want to create stability. So my feet are out wide. It's a wide, it's like a wider tree trunk. I press my feet down like I'm going to stand up, and immediately my spine comes straight and my shoulders fall away from my ears. What happens then? It's easier to breathe. Eyes and jaw. We hold a lot of tension there. It's super important as you move through your day and whatever you're doing to keep reminding yourself to release and relax any excessive tension around the muscles you use to move your eyes. And it's super important to remember your masseter muscle, this low jaw muscle, and separate your teeth a fraction of an inch and allow the top of the tongue to rest on the upper palate. That opens the upper jawbone, the maxilla, so your airway is as open as possible. So right now you're in a beautiful position to exercise or use breath control. So let's begin breathing through the nose. If you have the ocean sound in your toolbox, great. If you don't, it still works. My hands are palms up. I'll just press my feet down and I'll inhale my arms off my legs. I'll take my hands up the opposite walls. I'll bring my hands together overhead and I'll hold in and I'll just reach up towards the ceiling. I'll lift my ribs away from the hips and then I'll release my hands slowly through space. Exhale through the nose. The hands will come back to my thighs and I'll pause for a split second. And then I'll inhale again. Reach the arms out and up. Interlace the fingers overhead. Press your feet down and lift your ribs away from your hips. Hold in. Exhale through the nose. Drop your shoulders. Relax your back. Hands will come back to the thighs. And then one more at your pace. So just sweep out and up on the inhale. Feet are pressed down, face is soft. I interlace my fingers and I pull up from my armpit area. I activate these lymph nodes here, these lymphatic drains. And I just exhale down slowly. So I'm just opening up the breathing channels of the upper torso. My hands will come back down. Slow motion inhale, slow motion exhale. Next, imagine you're climbing an imaginary ladder. So take your right hand, reach it up to the ceiling, look up. And then bring the right hand back to the right thigh. Spine is straight. Press into the right foot. Take your left arm up. Follow it up. Reach up as high as you can. And then slowly bring it down. Press into the left foot. Reach the right arm up. Look up. Stretch your back. Come down. Press into the right foot. Lift the left hand up. Reach up. And bring it down. Now, press into the left foot, take the right hand up. Now, press into the right foot and reach out to the left. Exhale all the air and feel that down in your belly. Come back to center, bring the right hand down. Press into the right foot, take the left hand up. Press into the left foot, reach to the right. Exhale all the air in the lower left side of your belly. Feel that suction there. Come back up. Bring it down. Press into the left foot. Take the right hand up. Reach over to your left. Look up. Bend the elbow. Take the hand back behind you. Twist. And then sweep the hand back to the thigh. Beautiful. Left hand comes up. Reach it to the right. Look up, bend the elbow. Take the arm back behind you and twist your spine. And then sweep the left hand back to the left leg. Right hand comes up. Reach left. Look up. Twist around. Flush your kidneys. Right hand, right leg. Left hand comes up. Reach over to your right. Look up, bend the elbow, twist around, open your chest, sweep the hand back. Palms down, feet down, roll your shoulder blades up, back, and down like a bike chain, really slow. Open the sternum wide. That's it, Mike. Feet on the ground. And one more will do. Palms turn up. This time, inhale your arms overhead. Let them cross and come down onto the opposite leg. Crossing. Beautiful. Inhale up. Reach back. Come down. Beautiful. Inhale up. Let them cross. Come down to the opposite leg. Inhale up. Sweep them down the opposite walls. Beautiful. One more. Inhale up. Let the arms cross. Come back to the legs. Inhale again. Good. Now notice how easy it is to breathe right now.
I don't know if you saw me at the start, I'm so tight. I haven't been stretching recently, very, very naughty, but I could feel as we got to about three quarters of that, things started to shift and open up. At the very start, I could barely even get my hands to touch. So I need to do that every day. Thank you, Ed. That was really good. I hope people played along with that and had a go.
That was fun.
That was good. Thank you. So let's have a look. What else have we got going on here? I did miss a question, actually. Let me try and find it. I don't know if we'll have an answer for this, Ed, but any breathing suggestions for someone with fibromyalgia?
Fibromyalgia is a form of arthritis.
Right.
And arthritis is rust. So we need to go deeper into the cells of our energy to bring that energy out to the surface. So what I would suggest here is a couple things, okay? Number one is sit up tall and let's kickstart our energy. So just through your nose, inhale a little bit. Inhale a little more. A little more. A little more. A little more. Now inhale through your mouth and swallow that energy and pull your shoulder blades back. Squeeze. Exhale through your nose. So little pulse inhales until the lungs are filled, and then add a mouth inhale, hold in, nostril exhale. So in real time, just a pulse to the nose. Another pulse. Another pulse. Keep going. Keep going. Now stop, mouth inhale. Pull the shoulder blades back, swallow the air into your stomach. Lift your ribs. Exhale slowly. One more. So it's four or five pulse inhales through the nose, then a mouth inhale to completely inflate the lungs, to vertically push the diaphragm down as far as it can. We hold in, we lift the ribs, we kickstart the solar plexus, and then it's a nostril exhale. So three, two, one, pulse inhale. Pulse. Pulse, pulse, pulse. Now, mouth, swallow the air, pull the shoulder blades back and down, lift the ribs, feet are down, and when it becomes uncomfortable, let it come out through the nose. Take several resting breaths. Add that to your walking routine. Add that to your exercise routine. So you start to spark the cellular fire a little bit deeper than where the brain is normally going right now. And as we begin to extract that deeper energy from the mitochondria of the cell, I think a lot of the arthritic holdback of the lower energy will start to kickstart in your favor, my friend.
Wonderful. So give that a go and let us know. Leave us a comment maybe after and see if you feel any benefits from that. Thank you, Ed. Right, let's have a look what else we've got going on here. I've done that one. Okay, so someone's put, I'm healing my adrenals and often stick with breath work that activates the PNS, the parasympathetic nervous system. They've put, is the Wim Hof, I guess, / Tumo method too intense? So what they're asking, I guess, is what's a good breath work for healing their adrenals?
Okay, so when you're using breath work, it's important to understand without a doubt that less is more. You don't need to do a lot of this stuff to really rewire the body, rewire emotions and moods, and rewire the brain. A little bit of this goes a long, long way. So when I'm thinking about the adrenal glands, let's first talk about the kidneys. And the kidneys are here at your thoracic spine, behind a little bit behind and below your solar plexus. And right above your kidneys, you'll find these little acorn-shaped adrenal glands. So one of the things that I like to do with the adrenal glands is I'll take my right hand down to my leg and I'll turn it palm down and I'll place it on my right knee. I'll take my left hand forward and I'll look at the left thumbnail and I'll just twist it back behind me. So right now I'm flushing my adrenals. I'll lift my chest just a little bit. And that little chest lift, that little back bend, you can feel it in the kidneys and the adrenal glands. So we're creating stimulation, but it's not overstimulation. And then we'll exhale the hand around, and then we'll bring the right hand back. The left hand's on the left knee. I'll twist as far as I can. Now, I'll lift my chest and back bend. In that twist, you'll be able to go a little further. So you can feel the adrenal gland firing there, like there's a knot or a kink in the hose in your back. So you've got this movement here. So bring the right hand back, take the left hand around, go twist as far as you can, and then back bend slightly, and you can twist further. Now, to reboot the adrenals, breathe fast through your nose 5 rounds with Kapalabhati. So it would just be. And then on the exhale, swing back around, and then bring the right hand back, get your twist. Lift the chest, back bend, twist again. 5 rounds of Kapalabhati. And now in the 5th round, you swing back around. So to reboot the adrenals, we're going to get maximum movement of the diaphragm with the suction and pressure that we can create through the nose with the diaphragmatic breathing. The mouth breathing is wonderful, but you're not going to get that maximum movement of the diaphragm moving up and down because most of the air is going to be exchanged in the upper lobes of your lungs. That's sympathetic. We want to get the air into the lower lobes of your lungs if we can and activate the parasympathetic branch, which will cool the adrenal glands. And you add that to the twist, my man, you're going to be in good shape very, very soon. Practice this and let me know how it goes.
Fantastic. And just explain just a little bit more, Ed, Kapalabhati, what just explain what that is.
So Kapalabhati breathing is a strong inhale where you're forcibly expelling the waste. So there's a quick squeeze of the abdominal muscles and the air comes out through the nose. And it's just, and your body inhales on its own. Force exhale. Let the body inhale. Forced exhale. Let the body inhale. Feel how it recoils?
Yeah.
Then exhale. So the body inhales on its own.
So it's a strong exhale.
It's just a strong exhale. Relax. Your body will inhale on its own. And you'll have not a full inhale, but it'll be through the nose. And it'll have some parasympathetic activity to it. And it won't be a rushed inhale. Sometimes when you see the Fastrika breathing, the fast inhale and the fast exhale, that's kind of the big brother of Kapalabhati. So for this technique in the adrenal glands, I think the Kapalabhati, which is just a moderate recoil of the forceful exhale, and you just keep twisting in that, the movement of the diaphragm, which is right in alignment with where your adrenal glands are. So it's going to push down 5 times quick. Right. It's going to get oxygenation, nutrition, minerals, all moving through the adrenals. And then you unwind back into your straight spine, and we've rebooted the adrenal glands without using a lot of sympathetic energy to do that.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah. Someone's just asked if you've got any videos on your website. So you do have a YouTube channel, so it might be a good time to talk about that, actually. So Montana Deb, She's just said, do you have a video? And then she's going to check out your website. So we're not finished yet. Hopefully we've still got a few minutes, but if you want to just remind people, and I've already linked it in the description, so you can already go down now as we're live and you can find Ed's website. But Ed, you've got a YouTube channel as well?
Yeah. So I've got a channel that I've been adding videos to for the last 25 years. There's thousands of individual channels that are on Ed TV. And some might be for wellness or brain health or sleep health or exercise or specific health needs. So we've created, and we have a brain hack channel, so you can be in flow all the time. And each channel has hundreds of videos that are breath-based with mindful movement to help you have peak health and peak days with the lowest heart rate as possible and the least amount of self-doubt or fear as possible, as we all challenge ourselves to be the best we possibly can be.
Fantastic. You know, I think that's one of the things I really like about your style is the combination of breath and movement. That for me, you know, I've had the opportunity to speak to 30, 40 different breathwork experts, top people such as yourself. But the thing that I really enjoyed from our first conversation, Ed, was this ability to use the movement. And in particular, you know, talking about myself here now, I'm incredibly tight in the shoulders and the back. I suffer from back problems. I always try and do exercises for that. But I find that just doing what we did earlier and what we did in April, and it just shows I need to do more of this, is these sort of exercises seem to really help me. And I hope there's people watching this now that are feeling the same way and I'll get some benefits. But get over to Ed TV. Again, the link's in the description, and go and subscribe to Ed's YouTube channel. Ed, should we do one more question? Are you all right for time? You got a few minutes?
I've got all, Mike, I love being with you. I think you're one of the greatest guys on the planet.
Oh, wow. That's very nice. Thank you. Ditto. Thank you. Oh, lovely. You made my night, Ed. Right. Let's have a look. What can we do? So somebody said that they have tried breathing exercises to lower their blood pressure, but it only lasts for a few minutes and then the blood pressure goes back up again. Any advice you can give to make it a more sustained lowering?
Practice, inhaling at the pace of a snail. Practice taking in your in-breath every spare moment for the next 2 weeks as slowly as you possibly can. Remember, we want to get that. First, we want the belly to receive nutrient, and we want the spine, the central nervous system, to be erect in the low back. So we need to get that downward thrust going with that thoracic diaphragm and become aware of the details of inhale. So we have this thoracic diaphragm, which is going to swell the upper abdomen up. Become aware of the lower abdomen. There's a lot of really good information there that's going to help you keep your blood pressure down. If you can tune your mind to what's going on above the reproductive organ and below your navel, there's valuable intel there for you. So on the inhale, we have the diaphragm moving down and the lower or the upper abdomen swelling out. So that is going to give you a large serotonin and dopamine hit in your gastrointestinal organs, which is going to start to get your gut healthy, alkalining the blood of the gut. Number two, as you notice your inhale evolves, you'll notice the floating ribs, the ribs that aren't attached to the sternum. These little shorter ribs that come out of the spine, they don't quite make it all the way out front. Well, during the early part of the inhale, after the belly swells, you'll notice the floating ribs will pull down. And on the right side of your belly, you're going to get a wonderful massage on your liver and gallbladder. And this is going to help stabilize your blood pressure because these are energy assimilating organs. On the left side of your belly, when you feel these ribs pull down, you're going to get a wonderful massage on your stomach and spleen so that your digestive fire becomes stronger. So you're getting toxicity out faster, and the spleen is going to help your blood remain healthier. So healthy blood is going to be healthy blood pressure. Then as the inhale evolves further, you're going to hit the ribs that are attached to your breastplate. And the idea here is to expand these ribs like gills, north, south, east, west, just like a fish. And then practice sensing when rib one and two lifts towards your low jaw. So we need to strengthen your lung tissue. We need to strengthen your alveoli sacs. We need to be aware of getting the breath into the belly first and then riding that inhale up. So you're training the brain to take a full inhale consciously so that when you're not doing it unconsciously, it will happen for you because the brain wants you to be healthy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ed. So give that a go, whoever asked that question. I saw that a little bit earlier on. That's really interesting. Thank you. Right, let's do one more. I think we've kind of covered this, but Aromal's asked, what do you recommend to release the diaphragm? That's a good question, actually. I feel it's very tight. So that, yeah. So what can we do to kind of release the diaphragm?
Yeah. So diaphragm is an interesting muscle because it doesn't have typical fascia or soft tissue around it. So there has to be what I call a felt sense of movement of the diaphragm. In other words, I can pinch my bicep and the soft tissue there has sensory nerves and I'm pinching my bicep and I'm aware of it. I can feel it. The diaphragm being the deepest muscle or one of the deepest muscles on the body is that we're not aware of it. So it takes, number one, turn off all extra noise outside of you. All sensory input outside of you needs to turn off. We need not to be distracted in the mind. And you bring your attention to this diaphragm muscle and you visualize what it's doing for you organically and naturally without you doing anything. So in other words, if you're just breathing, the diaphragm muscle is going to move down on the inhale and it's going to move up on the exhale. So this is going to happen, you know, regardless of whether you control it or not. Now, when you think about the strong diaphragm that you have, what we want to do is create more flexibility in the diaphragm. So you already have strength. Now let's create range of motion. So what does that mean? The normal movement of the diaphragm is about 3 milliliters. People who practice breathing all the time, it goes up to about 10 milliliters. So there's a huge difference in how far it can move down, which is flexibility, and how far it can move up under the lower lobes of the lungs and pressing the lungs and heart up under the collarbone. So we want to create more range of motion of this diaphragm. So one of the things we do is what we did a little while ago is where we inhale and we hold the breath in and we've got 4 different ways that we can move the diaphragm. We've done 2. We can hold in and we can lift it up. We can hold in and we can push it down. We can hold in and we can push it out. You can push your belly out. And we can hold in and we can squeeze the belly back. So north, south, east, and west, with a breath hold in, you can push it down. You can lift it up. You can push it out. And you can push it back. Once you master that, practice it on the exhale and the holding out. This will be a little harder because there's less air in the body, but you'll be burning stale air residue that's impeding the diaphragm but becoming more flexible. So it would be exhale, hold out, press down, or maybe you want to lift it up, or maybe you want to push it out, or maybe you want to draw it in. So at the end of the inhale and the end of the exhale, you've got 4 movements to increase more range of motion in your thoracic diaphragm, sir.
Fantastic. Look at that. I find that stuff really, I mean, obviously I find all breath stuff really interesting, but I really like the diaphragmatic stuff because for years and years, I was what you would call a gut sucker. I didn't even know. I just thought it's good to go around as sadly lots of people are. We walk around and we suck in our bellies because we think we want to look a bit slimmer and we don't realize the damage that we're doing. And I've got all these lower back problems and I'm sure some of it's related to that. So wonderful. Ed, I tell you what, I feel so privileged to have sat down and had this time with you. It's been wonderful. And I really hope people have enjoyed it. Thank you everybody for your questions. It's been absolutely fantastic. So as we draw to an end, I'm going to ask you in a minute, Ed, maybe to do a breathing exercise to help me get off to bed now, because it's 8 o'clock here in the UK. It's dark outside. I've got all these screens in front of me. So in a minute, it'd be good if we can start to slow things down. But I just wanted to say to people, look, go on Ed's website, the link's below, get a copy of his book. Ed, thank you for sending this to me as well. I cherish this with you. I've got that one that you sent me with a nice little signature in there. I wanted to ask you, why do you use the term go be great? Why is that important to you? Why do you use that?
Well, it's something that came to me about 20 years ago. And I've always been mentoring people. I've always been the person that if someone had a big race the next day, they'd always call me the night before and I'd talk them off a ledge and tell them, you're going to go out and do a world record tomorrow. So just relax. It's going to be, I've always been that person. And it wasn't go do great. It's not doing. It's go be human being great from the inside out. And I noticed the difference between doing and being, and we're all great doers. We can wind things up, but we have difficulty, it seems sometimes, in just being ourselves. And we have a tendency to overthink or over emote or over physically exercise, and then we miss the mark. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was go be great. You're a human being first. You're a human doing second. If you can unwind what you've wound up, you will be more successful tomorrow than you were today. So go be great.
Go be great. I love it. I love it because I'll see you put comments on my Instagram sometimes and I'll see you'll always put the end, go be great. And it always gives me a little extra spark of energy. It's like, yes, I will try and go be great. So Ed, as we draw to an end then, would you take us through some relaxing something just to help us get through the weekend now as it comes to a close?
So, you know, mentally allow the weekend to come to a close and know that tomorrow is going to be Friday and then Tuesday will be Thursday and Wednesday. So always reverse your week around. So you bring that Friday mindset to the workplace on Monday. So you're not that heavy person who's, you know, all needy and parasitic energy and you're starting trouble with drama. Bring Friday to Monday and then the rest of the week will flow right through for you.
Nice.
As you begin to go to sleep tonight, we want to amplify our ability to fall asleep quickly and deeply. So we look to our exhale and the mental intention of a good night's sleep. I would prefer a good night's sleep. So we stabilize the brain with that slow motion inhale. And then we exhale through our nose to completion and we pause. I would prefer a good night's sleep. Inhale, exhale slowly, unwind, pause. I would prefer a good night's sleep. Last one, slow motion inhale, slow down. Life's not a race. Or if it is, it's a race you want to come in last. Exhale slowly, pause, accentuate the parasympathetic. I would prefer to fall asleep. Do that 3 to 10 times, and that'll make that autonomic shift to a parasympathetic dominance. Don't think. Don't think. Pay attention to what you want to occur, and then co-create it with the universe. I would prefer to have a good night's sleep.
Wonderful.
Stay in your power.
Right. Yeah. Yes, you have. Just doing it just then. I started to feel more relaxed straight away, just as you were guiding me and I was just saying it in my mind. I was like, yes. So I'm actually looking forward to getting into bed tonight and I'm going to use those affirmations. Mr. Ed Harold, author of Life with Breath. Thank you so much, everybody. Make sure you check out his YouTube, check out his website. This man is a breathing legend. I'm so privileged to have him on twice. And we're going to do a reverse next year, hopefully, Ed, where I get to come on and talk on yours. Looking forward to that.
I'm going to have you on my podcast, my Life with Breath Expert Series. We're going to do it in January 2022. And we're going to make sure from that podcast that everyone next year has all the tools for the best year of their life.
Fantastic. Beautiful. All right, everybody, wherever you are in the world watching, thank you so much for being here. We've had a really wonderful amount of people be on this live stream. Thank you to everybody for putting their questions on here. I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your weekend and the rest of your week. And to Ed's point, bring the Friday mentality to Monday. I'm going to use that tomorrow when I'm speaking to my colleagues. Friday mentality to Monday. All right, everyone, have a great one. Ed, take care. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Mike.